Christ. Throughout the course of the calendar year, Holy Mother of the Church presents to us a liturgical year. Usually begins at the end of November, beginning of December, with Advent. And this liturgical year is made up of seasons, Advent, Christmas, etc., all the way to the time that we have here, the time after Pentecost. There's also a daily part to a liturgical year where we're given different feasts for the different days of the year. Given some holy days, which are highlighted feasts. And we're given a dedication of each month. For example, October is a month that we have dedicated to the Most Holy Virgin. And I think it's important, spiritually advantageous, for us to pay attention to both of these. It takes a little bit of effort. Far too often, many of us cannot make it to church. The only church that we're able to get to is Sunday. But it doesn't mean that we cannot live the liturgical year at home. Can be a family event to discuss or to read about the saint of the day. To do those things throughout the months of the year or the liturgical seasons of the year as a family, which promote those thoughts and ideas and that spirit which Holy Mother of the Church wishes us to have throughout the year. Like I said, it takes a little bit of effort. It takes a discipline. If we do so, there are lessons that we can learn. Reminders that are important for us spiritually, for our continued relationship with the Lord. On this 17th Sunday after Pentecost, we are reminded that the whole law and the prophets are based on these two commandments. To love the Lord thy God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, with all our strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, no doubt all of us have heard this. But how many of us pay attention to this every day? There's one thing that we know about love, it doesn't remain the same. Either it diminishes or it grows. For that's a characteristic of love. Therefore, our love for God is either greater today than it was yesterday or is less. Our love for our neighbor is greater today or it's less. If we want to measure our love for the good Lord, the first place we look is the love and charity that we have for our neighbors. And who's our neighbor? Well, Christ told us this in the gospel. And we're reminded of this a few Sundays ago where he tells us basically everything else in the world is our neighbor. This weapon to be used against our enemies, that reminds us of the divine drama. God's love for man. You see, before we can really love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, strength, will, we must acknowledge His love for us. And not just a nonchalant acknowledgement, yeah, God loves me, I know. But a real understanding and a recognition of that love that He gives to us each day. The blessings that He gives to us. The blessing of a day that we have an opportunity to prove our love for Him and to gain heaven. As we pray the rosary, I say pray, not say. Too many people say the rosary and they don't give it much meaning. They go through the words, they go through the beads, but it's the prayer there. And what does the prayer entail? Really asking the petitioner, Blessed Mother, to pray for us now and every hour before that. A meditation on the mysteries that are presented to us. Like I said, the divine drama, the incarnation, God uniting His divinity with our humanity, because He loves us and He wants to save us. The redemption, the price of our soul, His precious blood, the cross, sanctification, His victory over death, over devil, and over sin. He, being God made man and representing us, opens the gate of heaven and allows us away. Sends His Holy Spirit to sanctify us. And enables us as men to have the life of God in our soul, sanctifying grace. And of course, we don't have to do this by ourselves. One main reminder of the Most Holy Rosary is that we can call His Mother our Mother. As far as feast days are concerned, well, we have had some pretty powerful feast days, and there's some pretty powerful feast days that are coming up. Of course, we've already talked about the Feast of the Holy Angels today. Last Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of St. Michael, the Prince of the Angels. I think it's important for us to remind ourselves of the story of the angels. The angels are some fantastic idea. They're a reality of faith. Angels do exist. It's gospel truth. And these aren't just some fairy creatures. These are powerful beings made with great intellect and ability. They move by the speed of thought. We barely scrape the surface of understanding them. But you know what's even a more profound thought? Is that each of us has one given to us on account of the Almighty God's love for us, to help us to fight the good fight, to keep the course, to keep the faith, and to fight the devil. We should be reminded of the story of St. Michael and the angels. They were given a test. Their test is unlike our test in that in the course of time, we must pass our test. But for them, it was a mere moment. Why? Because God endowed them with such high intelligence that when an angel makes a decision, the decision's made forever in a moment because of the great ability that God has given to them. For us, we are comprised of body and soul. We must exist in time, and our test is to pass as we pass through time. However, the test between the angels and men are the same in that it is about love. Christ tells us, of course, if you love me, keep my commandments. We have to be obedient. Well, the angels, they need to be obedient. God gave them a test. This is what it's going to be about. And the greatest of God's creatures, one of the most beautiful beings that he has ever created, looked at himself and forgot his creator and said, "Non serviam, I will not serve." And because of his stand, 1/3 of the angels fell. What is the lesson here for us? As the angels had a choice, we have a choice. We have to choose. Nobody can choose for us. It's important for us not to follow the popular. Too many people follow the popular and they justify themselves by following the popular. They follow themselves, they make a decision that leads to destruction. Why is the way that leads to destruction? And many there are that follow. Straight and narrow the way that leads to salvation, and few there are that go. So let us call upon the good angels today, our guardian angels. It's his to say, for the help. They wait for us to ask. And far too often we don't. And if we pray this, or we say the prayer to the angels, that's all we do is say it. What do we mean it? So we pray it. Thanks. Tomorrow, feast of St. Therese of Lisieux, or the Little Flower, one of my favorites. She's helped me out tremendously through my life and through my priesthood. But the one thing I like about St. Therese, and people have, I think, a bit wrong concept of her. Oh, St. Therese, a little flower. Oh, dainty. No, she's a great saint because she figured out the science of the saints. And the science of the saints is this: not to do great things, although some of the saints are called to do great things, but to do all things for the great reason of the honor and glory of God. And that's a mentality that each person can do if they want to do it. They have a choice. That's her little way. Do all for the honor and glory of God. Remember, love, honor, and glory. To do these things is a choice. It's not a feeling. Feelings might be attached to it. But it's of the mind. I want to do this for this reason. When we go to communion, how are we going to approach the communion rail? How are we going to receive our Lord? Are we going to come up to the communion rail thinking for some reason that we deserve to come to Holy Communion? Or are we going to come to Holy Communion humbly? It's a choice. How we approach Him. The very next day, October the 4th, St. Francis of Assisi, among the many different things that we can point out in his life, I think being a willing instrument can be something that we can highlight. One of my favorite prayers, which is very misused in the world today even, is this prayer of peace. Lord, make me an instrument of, highlighted, thy peace. Not the world peace. Remember what the Lord says about the world peace. Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. His peace is eternal. It's soul deep peace. And those souls that are willing to do His will, truly willing, they can have that peace if they want it. By choosing His will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Of course, through the liturgical year, it's interesting when you visit the different churches, you see they have devotions that are particular to themselves. Like you have on the Feast of the Angels, and not very many parishes do, blessing of little children. Pretty awesome. You also have, which seems to be a growing trend among traditional parishes, which I'm very happy to say, is devotion to St. Philomena. I see your beautiful shrine in the back. St. Philomena is a great example of choice. And it's a great example to young people. St. Philomena was a 13-year-old little girl when she died. But she made the choice long before that. Any child who comes up to the communion rail and has reached the age of reason to do so does not have the excuse of, oh, I'm just a child. No. You have a choice too. God has called you to be a saint, like Saint Paul says in today's epistle. That you walk in a manner worthy of your calling. What were you called to be? A saint. And so it's very important for those who receive communion, from the child to the adult, don't take for granted that opportunity. But like St. Philomena, who went through extraordinary suffering from her family, from the governor or the government, the emperor, especially for over a month with tortures, imprisonment. She remained faithful because he made the choice of giving herself to God. But she didn't go back on that, and she would not have anything to do with a pagan mentality. And after going through many hardships, many of which she was miraculously cured, God sent angels to her to cure her until God called her to Himself. The St. Philomena, 13-year-old little girl, and she's so powerful. She was left for us. For many centuries she was unknown, but she was left for us to call upon her. That's how powerful she is. And speaking of powerful, remembering an apparition, one of the apparitions of our Lord, I don't remember which one particularly, but one of the saints was given an apparition of the greatest saints of all times, the greatest saints of all times. And God showed her a vision of the saints of our time, the Latter-day Saints. And she said, these are the greatest saints of all times? How could that be? They're so weak. The good Lord answered and said, yes, but they have so much to overcome. There's a lot to overcome out there, my dear friends. But we're not without help. call upon our patrons, our saints. Let's call upon our guardian angels to help us each day, every day. Let us make the efforts that we need to make, not just when we come to church, but at home, each day, every day. Let us make the decision to love God more today than I did yesterday, more tomorrow than I do today. Be an instrument of His peace. Forgive our neighbor any offense, whether imagined or real, for Christ's sake. Preserve the unity of the Spirit. Remember, you're a child, one God and Father of all. And that proved to be a loving child. In the Father, and the Son.